It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We start our study today in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 by going to verses 6 through 9. At verses 6 and 7 say this, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." We see here duties regarding God in verses 6 through 7. Exhortations are given in relation to God here. Be humble, according to verse 6. And verse 7, rely on God. We're not to be proud, thinking we're more than we are. We're only what we are through the blood of Jesus. Jesus is all in all, and all to him I owe. I am to give everything to him. And as I think of that, how I should be humbled on this earth, and how he gave his life for me and shed his blood, then I need to be humble like that. I need to be willing to help those who are around me. I need to rely on God to help me to do that as well. Well, the reason for these exhortations in verses 6 through 7 is so when it is necessary for in due time, God can promote me and promote you. Verse 7 says that he loves you. He loves me, and he loved you so much that he gave his life for you. He came to this earth, and God says he loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you, and Jesus laid down his life for you because he loves you. Well, notice here in verses 8 through 9, 8 and 9, duties regarding Satan. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Well, things to do in regards to the adversary, according to these verses, are first to be serious, be sober, in other words. It's not something to be making fun of. A lot of people dress up like the devil at Halloween, and they make fun of the devil. They say, "The devil made me do it." Well, we need to be serious. He's real. We need to be serious, not making light, but be on guard, be vigilant, because he's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, to whom he may cause trouble, in other words. And note this, even before the adversary is identified, the alarm is sounded. Be alert, the Bible says. Watch out, knowing that he is walking about. He's real. And remember now, we've read verses 8 and 9, and remember, as you look at these verses, you're looking at your duties as a Christian regarding Satan. You're to be sober, you're to be vigilant, you're to be serious, and understand that the devil is real. Well, the word devil means slanderer, and Satan means the accuser. The Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren. He's real. He's going about today, and verse 8 tells us what he's doing. He's walking around like a wild animal. He's searching for someone to destroy, and that's all he wants to do. He wants to destroy men and women. He wants as many people to go to hell as possible. He wants people to go to hell. And we as Christians need to be alarmed at this. And we need to understand that he is real and that he is our adversary. He's a slanderer. He's going to confront you. He's going to tell you that you're no good, that you're not saved as a Christian. You see, so many people today think that they have to be saved over and over and over again. But the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. And that's speaking to a Christian, a person who is already saved. If something has happened in your life to just knock you down, you need to get up and you need to keep going for the Lord. You should not quit, but you should serve God. That's a trick of the devil for a saved person to think that they're lost after they've been saved. You couldn't save yourself and you can't keep yourself saved. Remember, Jesus only died once. He's not going to die again. He says, "I'm saving you one time forever." The Bible says that those people who trust Him as Savior have eternal life, and no man is able to pluck them out of His Father's hand. So when you get saved, you just need to understand you're saved. You're saved forever. Nothing, according to the Word of God, is able to separate you from the love of God according to the Word of God. Your adversary is walking around today. That's the devil, of course. He's accusing people today. He's destroying the people of this world, taking as many people as he can to hell. And he's got God's people confused, thinking that they are no good to the Lord because they've done something wrong. Well, you need to get over it as a saved person. You need to realize that you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, and quit fooling around. Let God guide you. Don't let the devil confuse you. Listen to the Word of God, and that is found in His Bible, in His book, the God-breathed book that He's given us to guide and direct us. Don't be fooled by the devil. Well, in verse 9, it also talks about what else to do concerning our adversary, the devil. We're to oppose him. We're to resist him. And we're to be unwavering. Now, we're to be steadfast in the faith, knowing that you're saved and on your way to heaven by faith is what it's talking about. And verse 9 tells us also that you and I are not alone as Christians. Christians are affected by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians are affected by the name of the devil. Christians are affected by the same devil, according to verse 12, chapter 4. It says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." We all get tried. As a Christian, we're all tried. We're all sifted, the Bible tells us. And that means that the devil tries us. Once again, he's a slanderer, and he wants to accuse us. He wants to get us to a point in our lives as a saved person to think that we cannot be of use to God any longer. And that is a lie. And that is a trick of the devil. We're to serve God as long as we're on this earth. We're to tell other people about Jesus Christ. Well, notice with me now in verses 10 through 14 of 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, we are concluding remarks of Peter here. Verses 10 through 11 say, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Well, this is a closing prayer of Peter. It talks about God's grace. God is the God of all grace. He gives more grace according to James chapter 4 and verse 6. He's the God of comfort according to 2 Corinthians 1, 3. He's the God of peace according to Hebrews 13, 20. He's the God of hope according to Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. And He's the God of grace. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." It's enough. We're punished. It seems as though we're punished and ridiculed and maligned. And this world is enough to make us want to go to heaven sooner than we should. Well, God has said His grace is sufficient for us. And He is able to establish us and strengthen us, to settle us. And we need to be settled down today as Christians, to be having our minds that we're going to serve God until we see Him, until He calls us home. And verse 11 says, "To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Well, this is to God, the God of grace. Be exalted. This is His glory, exaltation. That's His glory, never-ending authority. Dominion, it talks about in that verse, never-ending. Dominion over everything. He has dominion over everything. He's the creator of all things, and therefore He controls all things. We get concerned sometimes as a Christian. We start wringing our hands and thinking, well, what's the use of going on? Everything is just so bad in this world. Well, we need to quit wringing our hands and understand that God still has things under control. He's still there. He's still on the throne. He still knows what's going on here. He knows what's going on with this world and in our lives. He's the Creator. He spoke this world into existence. He is the Creator. He has dominion over everything. And I don't care what it is, this universe, everything, He has authority. Well, notice in verses 12 through 14 now the closing greetings. He says, by Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. Well, Silvanus could be ascribed. Peter wrote this, and Peter was the one whom God spoke to. But this Silvanus could have been one who was used of the Lord to help Peter write. In other words, Peter told him to pin down what God had given him, and it was placed in the Word of God. And notice the word delivers. Delivers possibly means pin down the letter, the epistle to the churches, and he's consistently loyal. He was a faithful brother. Remember, God is the author of the Word of God. The Word of God is God-breathed. I use the King James Bible, and I believe that's the Word of God for us today that we look at and we understand how people get saved and how we stay saved and how that one day Jesus is coming for us and Jesus is God and He wants to save people in this world. In verse 12, 1 Peter chapter 5, we also see the purpose of the epistle is to strongly urge you to exhort, to bear witness, to testify that you are able to stand by the true grace of God when resisting the devil. It's only through the grace of God that we're able to resist the devil. It's only through the grace of God that we're able to suffer for our Lord. Well, the Bible tells us that we're able to do all things through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 5:13 says, "The church that is at Babylon elect together with you saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son." This was speaking of those who send salutations. It was the church at Babylon and John Mark. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Greet you one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen." Well, this is a final charge given by Peter in verse 14. He says, "Greet one another with a kiss of love." You know, I've got to be careful with this. I think that we need to understand that during the day and time we live, we've got to be careful who we kiss. And this is something that we just need to pray about and understand that it's a kiss of charity. And I've seen people kiss each other as unto the Lord. And this is something you and I need to be careful with. A kiss of love? Well, that means not only a physical kiss, but that means to love people. Just love people, not only the brethren, but to love each other in this world. The people of the world, love them to the Lord. Well, verse 14 talks about praying for freedom, for peace, and for all who are saved. And this book just gives us everything that we need to be serving God today. And do you know Him as your Lord? You need to trust Him today. Ask Him to come into your heart. Turn from your sin. And the only way you can do that is turn to Jesus and ask Him to take the sin from you. If we confess our sins, He's faithful. He's going to take that sin from you today, and He's going to give you eternal life. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That word "whosoever" means you. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.